Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here tonight to speak a little bit about the gospel of Christ, about His goodness to us, about some of the things that maybe we should be doing to prepare ourselves for His kingdom. Yesterday, I sat down at my desk to try to gather together some thoughts for a sermon. And my mind just kind of flooded back, thinking mostly of last year. Looking at some of my successes, pondering some of my failures, thinking about some of the gains that I have made, and thinking of some of my losses that I have incurred. But as I was thinking of that, as I'm sure that a lot of you have, and at this time of year, this New Year's Day, we usually take it as a time to reflect back to the past year and see where we stand and see how we progressed and see if we accomplished those goals that we set in our minds to try to accomplish in that year. And then after we look back and we see that we failed miserably, then we set new goals. And we set new resolutions and we decide that we're going to do certain things in this year differently than last year. But as all these things were flooding through my mind, I mostly thought of the blessings. The blessings that happened to me personally last year. And they were just so many. I just thank God for all of the blessings that He has bestowed upon me. And wonder why. You know, wonder what I have been doing that deserves the blessings that God has given me. I know I retired this year, back last March, and I did so with great fear in my heart. You know, I could just see myself starving to death. There was no way that little paltry amount of money that I was to be given every month was going to sustain me and my wife. But you know, we haven't suffered one bit. A blessing of God. A blessing. I spent the big part of my year traveling in my field. Traveling from almost the Canadian border down to the very tip of Texas. Traveled many, many miles. And didn't have one problem. One problem. The only problem that I had in that whole time, I was a block away from home. A block away from home. Blessings of God to me personally. It's just amazing. When I stop and try to think of all the good things that God has given me. How was your year? How was your year? How did you stack up against those goals and those resolutions that you made last year? I think, if I remember back, and I tell you, I'm working at a great disadvantage since I went to Yucatan and lost all of my sermon notes. I can't remember what I said to you people, or what I said to anybody else, or what sermon I delivered to here or there. But I believe, if my memory serves me right, I was in the pulpit at this time last year. And if I remember right, I suggested some New Year's resolutions that we together make. And I wonder how, if you remember that, how we did. Were we successful? Were we middle of the road? Or did we fail miserably? You know, I think that I ask to resolve that we come closer to God. Are we closer to God today in January the 2nd, 2000, than we was January 1999? Are we closer to God today? Have we improved our prayer life this last year? Do we pray more? Do we pray more earnestly? Do we pray with more faith and more conviction, expecting God to answer us? Have we obeyed better this year? Have we obeyed the voice of God in all of our lives? Have we listened to that still small voice that He gives to each one of us? Have we heeded that spirit within our souls to come to God? Have we given more of ourselves? Have we given more of our monies? Have we given more of our time this last year than we did the year before? Have we come closer to our Heavenly Father? Have we spent more time in studying the Scriptures this year than we did last? Have we more love in our hearts for each other than we did last year? Have we improved our relationship one with another? Do we feel that love within our hearts, one for another, stronger than we did last year? Have we attended church services more this year than last? Oh, I hope and pray that the answer to these is yes, we have. Yes, we are closer. Yes, we have improved our prayer life. Yes, we have obeyed better. Yes, we have given more. Yes, we have studied more. But I can most likely answer for each one of us. And the answer probably is a resounding no. We probably aren't any closer today than we were last year at this time. Because we have let something come into our lives. I told this kind as a funny down in Phoenix. But the more I think of it, the more I believe it's true. I believe that the devil had a meeting. And he called all of his angels in. And he said, what are we going to do with the Church of Christ? What are we going to use to tempt them? What are we going to use to draw them away? And they come up with a brilliant plan. They come up with a foolproof plan almost. They said, let's keep them busy. My wife and I, we've got into the habit of saying, we're so busy. You know, we don't know where the time went. And this is what's happening to each and every one of us. And we're busy, brothers and sisters, on those innocent little things that in of themselves are not bad. This is the devil's plan. It's not bad. But if it takes us away, if it distracts us one iota from the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the devil has won. I talked to a young man not too long ago, and I'm not stepping on any toes, so please Please don't take anything personal. But I was talking to this young man. And he had a couple of sons. And these sons were in baseball. Healthy? Healthy? Teaches you sportsmanship? I love baseball. The national pastime. It's a great game. The kids get out and they get away from the television and they get out and they enjoy themselves. I love it. But further talk with this individual, I find out that the practices are on Wednesday night and the games are on Sunday. Did the devil win? Did the devil win? Of course he did. He won with a little innocent thing. Something that would not hurt anyone in itself. But he used that innocent thing to pull this family's mind away from Christ and away from the gospel. So the devil won. I tried to find a scripture that would kind of cover the many thoughts that I had and maybe express kind of simply some of the things that I think that we need to do. And you know, there, you go through the Bible and the Book of Mormon and there are just thousands of them. But the one I chose was in Galatians. And if you have your scriptures, please turn with me. And we're going to turn to the 6th chapter of Galatians. And if you read along with me, you'll find that this chapter here, through the 10th verse, is where I'm going to read, 1 through 10. We'll find that it talks about our relationships one with another. It talks about our works. It talks about how we should live our lives. So I'm going to read chapter 6 of Galatians, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I have a question after I've read that. I have a question for you. What do you think, or better yet, how should we react to those that we find taken in a fault? And I believe that as time goes on, as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ, that we'll have to deal with these things. We'll have to deal one with another in our faults. Do we shun them? Do we look down on them? Do we say that it'll never happen to me? That's your fault. That's your sin. What should we do? The Scripture tells us to restore them in meekness. Restore them in meekness. And then it goes on and gives a reason. That by so doing, lest we be tempted. Lest we be tempted. There are many, many temptations out in the world today. Many things that look good and right and even righteous to the eye. And there are many things which we fall temptation to, and they're not all the same. My temptations are not your temptations. And the things that I am tempted by and be drawn away are not the same as the things that might tempt you and draw you away. But the Scriptures tells us that we should restore. We should restore with love. We should restore with compassion and understanding. Remembering that for the grace of God, there go I also. That for the grace of God. In Ephesians 4, it says to forbear one another. Forbear one another in love. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. The next verse in Galatians tells us to bear one another's burdens. And that's important. It's important that we bear one another's burdens. It's important that we help each other get through our daily lives. It's important that if we see someone struggling, that we reach out and help them. If we see someone in need, we reach out to them. If we see someone discouraged, we give an encouraging word. If we see someone in fault, we restore them with compassion and love. It also says in Philippians, to look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We have that responsibility. God has given that responsibility to you and I. To help each other. You know, if there is bad times coming upon this earth, and I believe they will, I have no idea when. I have no idea how soon. But I do know of a surety that these things will come. And if we are to survive these things, we need to help each other. We need to have our hearts full of love one for another. Full of compassion and understanding one for another. That we may be able to overcome. Matthew. The 11th chapter. Just going to read two verses, the 28th to the 30th. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, if you're burdened, come to Him. If you need rest, come to Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ tells us here that we should cast our burdens upon Him. And, you know, this is one way that you and I can make other burdens lighter. By telling them that we know that this is true. That we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That we believe that He is a living being and able to take and lighten the burdens that are upon us. And why are we to do this? Why are we to take that load upon our own shoulders from each other? Simply to fulfill the law of Christ. To fulfill the law of Christ. And in so doing, we might help ourselves just a little bit toward eternal life. Paul follows in the next verse with a probable reason for someone not wanting to restore a person in his fault. Or not wanting to take a burden upon himself. And it's because he might think himself too highly. And this happens to us. This happens to the human. Each time we receive a little praise, each time we have a little success, each time that we climb a little higher in the corporate ladder, we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we are. The Book of Mormon in Mosiah 2:20 says, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. Doesn't matter how much money we make. Doesn't matter how many things we're able to accumulate. It doesn't matter how powerful we become with men. It doesn't matter what station in life that we accede to. None of these things will help you enter into the kingdom of God. None of these things. The only thing that will help you enter into the kingdom of God is your pure and contrite heart. Your love of God. Your love of each other and of all mankind. Your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the things that will get you into heaven. These are the things that we need to strive for. There's no way that we'll be able to ride into heaven on anyone else's coattail. It doesn't matter if your child is righteous. It doesn't matter if your husband's righteous or your wife is righteous. It is you. It's a personal thing. Have to be righteous to enter into the kingdom of God. Paul goes on to say in this verse that if we do think highly of ourselves, that we deceive ourselves. Compared to God, we are nothing. We are as the dust of the earth, it says. Verse 21 in the second chapter of Mosiah says, humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. And what is he talking about there? He's talking about the coming of Christ. And we have to have faith that He will come again. And we have to have faith that our lives will be in such a condition that we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That we have lived our lives in the year 2000 to qualify ourselves for God's kingdom. We don't want to come here to this place in 2001 and said, "We have failed miserably. We're no closer. We're no closer than we were in 2000. Or no closer than we were in 78 or 80. The years, brothers and sisters, are creeping by. The time is running out. Whether any of us live to see the coming of Christ or not makes no difference. Makes no difference whatsoever. We still all have to stand at that judgment bar and be judged of God for the things that we do in this life. So maybe we shouldn't worry about the second coming of Christ. Maybe we should worry about our lives now. For I may walk out this door and be hit by a truck, and my life would be over. My opportunity would be over. It could happen to any of us. Our opportunity would be over. We need to grasp that opportunity tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and every day that we live thereafter, living that Christ-like life that's set forth in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Paul in the next verse tells us to prove his own work. And he will rejoice in himself and not in another. Each one of us must work our own salvation. Each one of us has work to do. At least 3 places in the Bible and 4 places in the Book of Mormon, we are told that we'll be judged according to our works. 7 places in the Scriptures, we're going to be judged according to our works. And what are the works? What are those works that you and I should be doing? Feeding the poor, clothing the naked, giving to the hungry, admonishing others both spiritually and temporally. Yeah, all these things. But there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. For Scripture tells us that we can do all these things. We can do all these things and still fall short of the mark. Because we don't have that love of God within us, right? We don't have that charity within us. Let's turn over to Corinthians. In the 13th chapter, and read a little bit. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You know, we can be the most eloquent speaker in the world. We can say all kinds of big words, all kinds of flowery statements, say all kinds of beautiful things to try to inspire men to do good. But if we don't have that love of God within our hearts, it's for naught. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." And we know what that charity is. The Book of Mormon says it's the pure love of Christ. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, We could empty our pockets to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we can have all these things. We can do all these marvelous things in the name of God. But if we don't have that love in our hearts, we've wasted our time, haven't we? Oh, we may be known as a fine fellow. We may be known in this life as a good man because we've given all of our money, or we've given all of our time, or we've preached great and marvelous sermons. But if we don't have that love of God within our hearts, it will do us no good up there. Obeying all of God's commandments is works. Paul tells us in verse 6 that if we are taught the word, we must communicate the word to others. You know, and he's not talking here just to me or Elder McGee. He's talking here to each and every member of this Church of Christ. And he's telling us is if you've heard that word, if you know what that word is, that good word, it is your duty and your responsibility to tell others. And if you're not doing it, then you're falling short. If you're not doing it, then you're not obeying the commandments that God has given us. But it's not only telling. You know, we can tell everybody how to live their lives. I always did say that I could raise my neighbor's kids a lot better than they could. But I had trouble with my own. It's not only telling someone about the gospel of Christ. It's not only telling them about the love and the goodness and the promises of God, but it's showing by our actions and our deeds that we truly are the children of God. Truly, we believe what we're saying. Truly, we're living what we're preaching. And therein lies the key, brothers and sisters. Are we living what we're preaching? And that's not only me. I'm not the only one doing the preaching. Each one of you, when you've taken upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ through baptism, have taken upon yourselves that same responsibility to live what you preach. And you told the world when you went down into the waters of baptism that I believe in Jesus Christ. And you say, I will follow Him. So now it's up to you to show by your actions and deeds that you're living the words that you have preached. Paul goes on to tell us that whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap also. Book of Mormon in Alma, the third chapter. It's on page 317. Starting with the 62nd verse. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you. Yea, in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. And now who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkened unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of the devil, for he hearkened unto his voice and doth follow him. If we're going to be a follower of Christ, of that good shepherd, we need to do the things that he says. We need to hearken to his voice. We need to listen to those things that he has told us. Back over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, we have a responsibility to do good to those out in the world. We have a responsibility to do good to those who we come in contact in our daily life. And it's not always easy. For there are those out there that despitefully use you. There are those out there that curse you. There are those out there that maybe even hate you. But we're told here to do good unto those. But especially to each other within this church of Christ, within the household of faith, within the kingdom of God. Do good one to another. And if we have that love in our hearts that God would have us have, if we have that concern for each other that God would have us to have, it should be easy for us to do that. If you see me in pain, anguish, trouble, you should be fast to hold out your hand and say, "How can I help? What can I do? How can I be of assistance?" These are the things, brothers and sisters, that will help us assure ourselves a place in His kingdom. And I've said many times, that's our goal. Our goal is eternal life. Our goal is to sit on the right hand of God. Our goal is to hear, "Well done." And I pray that when we meet here again next year in 2001, in January, that each one of us will be able to resoundingly say, "Yes, yes, I've come closer to God. Yes, I've improved my prayer life. Yes, I've obeyed better. Yes, I've given more to the poor. Yes, I've studied more. Yes, I am a child of God." Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter. Starting with the 9th verse, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." A sermon in itself, as my brother Beam says, a sermon in a second. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. How simple. Evil's over here, I don't want anything to do with it. goodness is here. I want to cleave to it. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I'd like to close this evening with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. And it's entitled, Walking with God. What must I do to ensure peace of mind? Is the answer I'm seeking too hard to find? How can I know what God wants me to do? How can I tell what's expected of me? Where can I go for guidance and aid to help me correct the errors I've made? The answer is found in doing three things, and great is the gladness that doing them brings. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. For with these three things as your rule and your rod, all things worth having are yours to achieve. If you follow God's words, have hope and believe. Thank you very much.
We're going to use 286.